and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. And investors responding after President Trump's 25% tariffs on imported goods from Mexico and Canada went into effect today. Stocks tumbling for a second day. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced 25% reciprocal tariffs on U.S. goods, saying the trade war is counterproductive, but Canada won't back down. He also spoke directly to Americans and put the blame on President Trump.
Your government has chosen to put American jobs at risk, at the thousands of workplaces that succeed because of materials from Canada or because of consumers in Canada, or both.
Ukrainian President Zelensky speaking out. Since President Trump announced the U.S. is pausing military aid to Ukraine, it follows the diplomatic fallout last week. Zelensky says his country wants lasting peace. Crowds are celebrating Fat Tuesday in New Orleans, the pinnacle of Mardi Gras festivities in the Big Easy. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, ranking member of the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor, Health and Human Services, Education and Related Agencies, slammed the Trump administration for stopping $65 million in funding for Alzheimer's disease research at institutions across the country. 14 of the 35 Alzheimer's disease research centers have had their funding halted by the National Institutes of Health because the Trump administration continues to cancel NIH Advisory Council meetings, which are the final required step in the grant approval process. The Trump administration has prohibited NIH from announcing more than 185 study section and advisory council meetings on the Federal Register, forcing the cancellation of NIH's National Institute on Aging January advisory council meeting, where renewal applications for the 14 ADRCs were to be reviewed. As a result, those 14 ADRCs will begin to run out of funding starting today, and all of them will run out of funding by April 30th. President Trump has single-handedly stopped Alzheimer's disease research in its tracks. Let that sink in, said Senator Baldwin. She added, the millions upon millions of families with a loved one with Alzheimer's disease or related dementias are relying on this research for hope. But Donald Trump and Elon Musk are refusing to fund this research because they are in an all-out quest for every dollar they can find for their billionaire tax break. This is Alzheimer's disease research, including at the University of Wisconsin, that is discovering ways to prevent these diseases, detect them earlier, develop new treatments, and ultimately find cures. But Donald Trump is throwing that by the wayside so he can give handouts to his wealthy friends. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A setback for the Brewers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brewers starting left-handed pitcher Aaron Ashby had to leave last night's spring training game in Arizona in the second inning. Manager Pat Murphy says it's an oblique muscle injury requiring an MRI. The Brewers went on to lose to the Reds 5-4. Ashby, the sixth Brewers pitcher, now dealing with an injury. NBA, the Bucks in Atlanta tonight to take on the Hawks. Milwaukee has won six of their last seven games, and they've now moved up to fourth place in the NBA's Eastern Conference. The Badgers men team getting ready to play Minnesota in the Twin Cities. Head coach Greg Gard.
Yeah, it is a border state. You know, we've recruited that area really well. That area has been really good to us. We've got really good players from there. It's important in terms of a Big Ten tournament seeding. It's important to get the double bye if you can. And quite frankly, you boil it down to it's your next game and you're competitive and you want to win. The other stuff that can happen from that is a byproduct of, you know, doing good things on Wednesday night.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Showers move in this afternoon and some thunderstorms are possible. As rain ramps up into the night, around 1 to 2 inches of rainfall is likely. It'll then start to mix with some snow early tomorrow morning, where it puts down 1 to 2 inches of snowfall. It'll also be windy too, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Can our NATO allies continue to rely on the United States under President Trump? What is your take, Professor Barrington?
The conversation had been going into Friday. Can Europe just get a seat at the table for these negotiations? The right question now is, can Europe build a new table?
Mm.
And I think that's where they are. February 28th, 2025 is going to be remembered as, a pretty key date.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Join me as we find out what happened to USAID with Christina Dry, speechwriter and communications analyst for the agency.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. It is a great day to be in Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. It is a little cloudy, a little overcast in downtown Madison at the world headquarters. I chuckled there as we came on the air because I'm not sure what's up, Zommers. My ears are off today. And I just went to the doctor last week and he says everything's fine. I think what it is there's a big storm system coming into the area. And my ears are like a barometer. And so they're crackling and popping, especially the one that has the tube in it. And so everything sounds a little off.
That'll even do it for some people who have quote unquote normal ears.
Really? Yeah.
I get it a little bit, just not.
Everything
like
sounds
that.
Tinny in my ear. Reminds me of my old boss Peter Thanis at WRCO, of another colleague, Ray Schrader, who played great music on Saturdays. And they were really great friends, but they're the kind of friends, like old man friends, who just pick on each other constantly. And he used to say to my former and once again our current colleague, Phil Nee at RCO, he used to say, "I'm always sad that son of a gun has a tin ear."
Yep.
So I feel like I've got a bit of a tin ear today. But we shall carry on. It's going to be a great show today. Our old friend Luke Mathers is in here at the bottom of the hour for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester. We'll talk a little news and a little sports as well. Badger basketball tries to get back on track tomorrow evening to Minnesota at the Barn, as they still call it up there. They have one of those elevated floors up at Minnesota for basketball. And I think they still do it under Greg Gard when Bo Ryan was there before the game. As soon as the team got there and got their practice time on the floor, Bo or the assistant, they would roll basketballs along the edge of the court and have guys go and dive after it and fall off the edge. And so that it was ingrained in them that, look, you can do this and you're not going to get hurt. If you go after it and just keep going and roll off, you're fine. But if you get scared and try to like prevent yourself from rolling off,
then you're going to get hurt.
That's where you're going to get. So it's always when they take video of this, you see guys rolling off the floor up there in Minnesota. And I anticipate they'll do that tomorrow. Anyway, a big game for the Badgers. They need this after a loss to Michigan State over the weekend. And then the Badgers will wrap up at home against Penn State this weekend. So we'll talk with that about Luke. Also broadcast tonight, President Donald Trump delivering, they don't call it a State of the Union speech on their first year, but that's essentially what it is. It's technically called the presidential address, Trump addressing Congress. and all kinds of implications with that. We'll talk to Luke about that. We're going to carry that broadcast tonight via our CBS and ABC network anchors, depending upon which station you're listening to. But if you have the Civic Media app, you can listen. You can select which one you want to listen to, depending upon the station.
That is at 8 p.m.
What did I say? 7? Sorry.
I think you also said 8.
It's 8 o'clock is the bottom line. So you want to tune in to that as well. Going to talk a little bit about Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth now going after civilians. Tell me 5 things you did this week. Coming up at hour 2, what's worse? Taco. Timely indeed. It's Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. So we'll give you a choice, homemade or Taco Bell. What's worse? And hour number 2, so all kinds of more things. All kinds of more things. Yes, I talk for a living. All kinds of other things in the show. So stick around. Your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. The barometer is just throwing me off. Here's where I want to begin today. A story that we did yesterday. And I got some calls from listeners who wanted clarification. Not the least of which was Mom. Now she said, well, you had this story on yesterday about Social Security. I think you better clarify. And this is good feedback. And I had a couple other people because this is very serious stuff. And I made clear yesterday when we talked about this story, I said, look, I'm not here to scare people or fearmonger or clickbait. I just thought it was pertinent to pass on what I knew so that people could plan and know what's going on. As we say, pursuing the truth. Wherever it may lead. So this is, I want to clarify now. This was a story over the weekend on CNBC, one of the cable news outlets, part of the Universal NBC network. It was on online at NBC.com as well, other places. And this isn't the only source, other reputable sources out here. The headline says, Social Security has never missed a payment. DOGE actions threaten, quote, interruption of benefits, unquote, ex-agency head says. It was published on Saturday, March 1st, so over this past weekend. And I want to clarify, just and again, everything we said yesterday was accurate, but I think my mistake was I didn't time the story out well in terms of when I read it. So we talked about part of the story. We took a commercial break, and then we talked about the rest of it. So I want to make sure that people understand, especially the second part of this story that we talked about after the commercial break yesterday, about whose benefits may be most at risk. So the thrust of the story here is that the Social Security Administration for 80 years, not missing payments to people, 72.5 million people receive some form of Social Security, and the former commissioner of the Social Security Commission, Martin O'Malley, was interviewed by CNBC over the weekend for a governor of Maryland, saying, look, because of what Elon Musk and Trump are doing in their so-called made-up Department of Government Efficiency, but unfortunately it has real power, but given real power by Trump and Musk and not in check by Congress. Anyway, because of what DOGE is doing, all these severe cuts, without asking questions. And I've made clear this program as someone who used to work in state and federal government. I do think there is room for audits and efficiency and cuts, but you have to use a scalpel, not a chainsaw. So former governor and administrator O'Malley was on CNBC over the weekend saying that some people, keyword some, may see interruptions. But I think it's important to clarify that in terms of whose benefits may be affected, those people who are currently on Social Security and you receive a monthly check and it gets direct deposited into your bank account, you are the least likely to be affected. Let me say that again. If you are currently receiving Social Security payments and you get a direct deposit, your benefits have the least chance of being affected. You will most likely continue on. But in this story, they say that benefits Americans rely on could be at risk based on Trump's overhaul of the agency. Quote, the American public needs to understand that one of their major social security safety nets is in dire jeopardy, unquote, said Jill Hornick, a union official at the American Federation of Government Employees Local 1395. which primarily represents Social Security offices in Illinois. So this is these folks are unionized, and this is one of the union officials saying this. She said, quote, "It'll take a while for the effects to be felt, but they're coming." Predicting what will happen to Social Security is going to be, quote, far worse than the planned cuts to Medicaid. Story says, for people who are already receiving Social Security benefits, most of that is automated and may not be affected, she said. However, processing new claims, whether it be for retirement or disability benefits, may take longer since those cannot be processed without Social Security employees. Now, last Thursday, Social Security Administration sent a notice to employees that gives them until March 14th to decide whether to take an early buyout. Unlike the previous offer in January, this now includes service employees and staff reductions in that area that may impact how quickly the agency processes benefit claims and provides other services. For example, if a woman files for a survivor benefit after her husband dies, she needs to provide a copy of her marriage license. A Social Security employee then needs to code the system to verify that they have sent that document and that the applicant is eligible for benefits. Quote, not everybody can do things electronically, unquote. Particularly the older adults and disabled individuals who the Social Security Administrator serves, said Maria Fries, a senior legislative representative at the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Quote, if you don't have people to run an agency that requires hands-on customer service, then of course there is a risk that you could end up with benefits either being denied or interrupted, unquote. So I hope that makes it clear. What we're talking about here is that if you have particularly people with new benefits or a change in benefits, and you're unable to do things electronically, or maybe even if you are, there still has to be a live person within Social Security at some point to process that for you. And if the Musk-Trump cuts continue, that could, keyword could, slow down that benefit. So I'll repeat it one more time. For those people who are on Social Security right now, who are receiving a check electronically, most likely your benefits will not be interrupted. I can't sit here, I mean, none of us can, right? I can't sit here and say I can guarantee you it'll never be interrupted, but the likelihood is it won't. What we're talking about are new folks to the system. People have to file for changes, that sort of thing. So I hope that clears it up, and apologies if I, for not including that all in the same segment. That's on me, because I think the people heard the first part of it, that, you know, benefits could be interrupted, and understandably freaked out a little bit, because this is nothing to mess around with. There are all kinds of folks out there, good folks, hardworking folks who've worked all their lives, and there was a promise that Social Security would be there for us or them when they retired. And they rely on that to live, to pay house payments, rent, food, electricity. And without that, be dire consequences. So I hope that clears it up. Welcome to call in. We can talk about it as well. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We'll come back, talk about another little part of Doge with the Trump system, and Luke Mathers is straight ahead as well. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday, right here across Wisconsin and around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down.
IZERVAY is proven to slow GA progression.
IZERVAY.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
IZERVAY or Avacin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. IZERVAY can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. IZERVAY may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about IZERVAY today.
IZERVAY gets GA going slower.
Visit IZERVAY.com. That's IZERVAY.com.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that law?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that law?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that law?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tylenol Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon on a Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Luke Mathers coming up at the bottom of the hour for some Tuesday tangents right now, talking a little bit about the story over the weekend on CNBC on Social Security. The so-called Department of Government Efficiency looking to cut more positions across the board, many of those now in the Social Security Administration, and saying that that could, keyword could, affect particularly people applying for new benefits. If you're new to Social Security, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Mark, listening in Perdistack. Mark, thanks for calling. What's up?
Considering, I mean, it used to be just old hat for the employees are there to, you know, provide process the new benefits kind of thing, and probably do them very efficiently, and that now people are going to have to wait. And Elon Musk is dancing around, prancing around, jumping up and down, and I don't give a rip that he claims, well, he's on the spectrum, so he should be forgiven for his inhuman behavior. That is just sad to me that People are likely going to suffer pretty badly because of this kind of thing going on. Mm. And, you know, that in the old days when the king failed back in, you know, pre-Christian time, as I understand it, reading about pre-Christian England, I mean, the king kind of paid for it with his life. I mean, that it is just sad. I mean, that, and we don't even have the choice of that when Henry II made that comment about, offhand comment about, you know, won't somebody rid me of this querulous monk or priest that the Canterbury monks administers as punishment. That and that unfortunately, you know, Donald Trump is immune to all, you know, all of this now. Apparently now he wants to move his 34 felony convictions to federal court, and I don't understand how that is possible to happen, but who knows?
Right. Lots going on, Mark. I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, particularly on that Social Security issue. Yeah, I mean, it's looking more and more these cuts that Elon Musk is making across government with Trump's help, or at least support, is going to directly affect our lives. Not the least of which is, again, in the flurry of a very important story from Friday, of course, the debacle of the Oval Office when Trump advanced went apoplectic on President Zelensky of Ukraine, was lost over the weekend that Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth put out a statement to not just Department of Defense military folks, but also the civilian folks. Thousands of people
work in the Department of Defense, but are not military. They're not in one of the branches. They're employed for their skills, and they are part of the Department of Defense. And ultimately, those civilian folks, one of their supervisors is going to be someone in the military. But they do jobs within the military, and many of them, by the way, require security clearance, all kinds of background checks, because they deal with sensitive information. Elon Musk, of course, put it out a couple weeks ago, the edict. You have to email me through the Office of Personnel and Management, OPM. Five things that you did in your job to justify yourself, or if you don't respond, you'll be fired. Hegseth, vis-a-vis the Department of Defense official websites and Twitter, said to hold off, pause on that. And now over the weekend, he and Musk got together and Hegseth capitulated. Here is the message that Pete Hegseth put out to the United States Department of Defense employees over the weekend.
Hey, everybody. Here at the Defense Department, we've got a lot of civilian patriots who dedicate themselves to defending this nation while working here at the Department of Defense. And a lot of them, many of them, most of them, are critical to our national security. And as we work to restore focus on DOD's core warfighting mission under President Trump's leadership, we recognize that we cannot accomplish that mission without the strong and important contributions of our civilian workforce. But it's a really big workforce as well, which we recognize. Now, on February 22nd of this year, OPM sent an email to all federal civilians asking them to provide, you remember this, approximately 5 bullets of what they did last week, describing their accomplishments. Well, the Department of Defense employees received direction to, at first, just initially pause responding to this request to OPM, just to pause. Now, as we said, following a review of Pentagon procedures and consultation with the Office of Personnel Management, because we work on topics of national security, of sensitivity, of classification, we needed to be careful on that front, I am now directing each member of the department's civilian workforce, just civilian, to provide those 5 bullets on what they accomplished in their specific jobs last week, to reply to that email and CC their immediate supervisors. It's a simple task, really, as Elon said, as the president recognized in our first cabinet meeting, just a pulse check. Are you there? Out to DOD civilians. Now, all those DOD civilians will receive an email outlining the next steps. We'll get that email soon. That they need to take in order to comply with this initiative. And then the reports will be consolidated internally within the department to comply with the OPM directive. It's really simple and straightforward. The directive to civilian employees will be clear. Reply to the email, CC your supervisor, provide without any classified or sensitive information, basic topics of what you did last week, and that we will take that into consideration as we make sure we're being as focused and as tailored as possible in looking at how we streamline our workforce to both meet the fiscal demands of the moment, but also ensure we have the strongest, most viable fighting force in the world. Thanks.
Wanted to bring that to you uninterrupted, unchopped up. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, his message to Department of Defense civilian employees. Couple of things about it. Also, very cheery, right? I guess when you're in communication in Fox News, you're able to good communication skills. I'll give them that. As someone who worked for a former United States congressman, Republican actually, and handled Department of Defense military issues, a couple of problems there. First of all, what they are now requiring civilians in the Department of Defense is to email OPM, Office of Personnel Management, which is outside of the secure email network of Department of Defense, and tell them what you did. Many folks cannot tell anybody what they did outside of Department of Defense unless they have security clearance. And those OPM emails, not secured the way Department of Defense emails are. You're putting our nation at risk. We'll come back and discuss it with Luke Mathers and more. It's the Todd Allball Show for a Tuesday on Civic Media.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
As of 12:01 a.m. this morning, 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico are in place. But how does that affect the consumer? I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, is here to give some insight on what could happen for our domestic consumers here in the U.S.
Realistically, sometimes we may not see the local consumer impact. Again, we'll have to find out how that kind of plays out in terms of some of those products, because again, we ship a lot of products there, but we use a lot of those same products at home. You know, so it depends on what the product is. You know, obviously, if we're bringing something into the United States that's something we don't raise here, that could be an area we do see some elevated costs in terms of the food section. But at the same time, you know, again, right now, global prices are coming down to match where these values are going to be, and that in turn could just keep things very, very stable.
As Heinberg was saying, it all depends on what the product is for how it'll affect you on your trips to the grocery store. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
$1 billion. That's how much equipment is stolen from U.S. construction sites every year. These thieves are stalling projects, hurting Wisconsin's family-owned businesses, and driving up costs for everyone. Judge Brad Schimmel takes theft seriously. He holds criminals accountable and protects the people who are just trying to do their jobs. Call Judge Schimmel and thank him for protecting us. Paid for by the Associated Builders and Contractors of Wisconsin.
Well, hold on to your britches, everybody. It's time to go nuts at the Springfield Corners Testicle Festival. March 8th, you can enjoy deep-fried delicacies along with ice-cold beverages and live music by the Lights Out Band. Join me, the fabulous Farm Babe, along with the rest of the Midwest Farm Report team at Springfield Corners for your chance to win concert tickets and to try some fried Rocky Mountain oysters. It all kicks off after 2 p.m. on March 8th. Springfield Corners. See Facebook for more details.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's see how those markets are moving midday on a Tuesday. Although the consumers may not be feeling the pain of the tariffs today, producers definitely are. Cash corn is down 13 at 443 and a quarter, with new crop corn down 9 at 442 and a quarter. Cash soybeans are down 19 and 3 quarters at 991 and 3 quarters, with new crop soybeans down 21 at 997 and 3 quarters. Cash wheat is down 17 and a quarter at 530 and a half, with July wheat sitting at 545 and a half, down 15 and 3 quarters. Class 3 milk is not looking much better, though, as April contracts are down 34 cents at 1775 a hundredweight, and May contracts are down 31 cents at 1785 a hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Showers move in this afternoon and some thunderstorms are possible. As rain ramps up into the night, around 1 to 2 inches of rainfall is likely. It'll then start to mix with some snow early tomorrow morning, where it puts down 1 to 2 inches of snowfall. It'll also be windy too, gusting up to 40 miles per hour. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Right now, it's 49.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomack, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Earl Ingram.
Welcome to Campaign for Lead Free Water, with Governor Evers' efforts to address the lead issue. Following that, we will have Dr. Robert Craig join us to talk about Trump's discussion with Congress.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Tom Lamal Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon on Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. Glad to be along with you on a Tuesday. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers, the one, the only. You know him, you love him. Luke, sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. It's that time of year. The spring is in the air. You can feel it. You can feel it. Basketball season is coming. March Madness. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it's muddy paw season. So it's
muddy paw season for the dogs.
Yes, today. I don't know why you have a Boston accent for one word. But yeah, it's if there's rain later today or snow or whatever the mix, wintry mix that we'll get, it's not fun for the muddy paws. But you know, you got to be on constant lookout for those this time of year.
Now, this is serious. I started the show because my ears are a little off, but I think it's the I'm serious now. My ears have become a barometer, especially since I got the tube back in one of them, and so my hearing, everything is tinny today.
Okay.
And because there's a big, the point is, this is serious. There is a big storm system coming through later tonight through tomorrow. So particularly our listeners up in Hayward and Amory and Chippewa Valley area, Eau Claire, could see maybe 4 to 6 inches. Eau Claire, maybe around 4. Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, maybe 2 to 4. And then here in Madison, an inch or less. And I'm not sure in Milwaukee. Things are so hot in Milwaukee, it isn't even going to snow.
Yeah,
but a lot of rain.
I would say that lake effect will prevent the snow this time of year. But yeah, it's going to be the heavy stuff too. So yeah. for up north,
for old people like me, don't go out and shovel.
Be careful. Yeah, it's, we'll see how it goes. But yeah. don't take it as a joke. It's unfortunate that now we're going to see maybe our weather services, as we're hearing about more. We've got winter storm coming through now. We've got some of those watches, I believe, turning into warnings or vice versa. I'm still not a meteorologist, so don't quote me on that one. But there's some upgrading and stuff that's going out there. And we see more and more severe weather every single year. And in the sake of efficiency, we're going to just start cutting the National Weather Service and NOAA, which is the agency that oversees that. And it's just mind-numbingly silly.
Well, it is silly, but it's also dangerous because particularly for folks in agriculture or really anybody, but I mean, they use those statistics and to calculate on crops and planting and harvesting, all kinds of great things like that. Yeah. So, I mean, those things are all in jeopardy. I want to just finish up with you on something we started before the break. We played the cut of Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, as Todd almost spilled his water there. It was so alarming. And now Pete Hegseth, he wants to incorporate the – I didn't know he was a big Craig Kilborn fan at back in the day, because Kilborn, when he hosted the Late Late Show, he always asked his guests five questions to end the segment, which is a great segment, which maybe we'll steal at some point. But now Hegseth asking now civilian Department of Defense employees, justify yourself with 5 things you did, an email from your Department of Defense email to the Office of Personnel Management, which is outside the secure zone, as they say, for and many of these people on the civilian side are doing jobs in which they had to pass security clearance because they are entrusted with military secrets, which if in the public, or better said, in the hands of our enemies, could do great damage, if not death, to the men and women who put on the uniform. And now,
what's a classified document these days, Todd? Right. I think all those
in Mar-a-Lago,
all those classified documents, kind of all the protocols, all the steps, those all went out the window when a former president was able to just, you know, say they were his and took them down to Mar-a-Lago, and then, you know, there was just boxes and boxes in a bathroom.
I will say, though, Pete Hegseth did mention if it's classified, you shouldn't include that. But then that begs the question, what if everything you do in a week is classified?
Right. So what people just say, I went to work. Yeah. And that's not going
to
be
just
enough.
Five bullet points. Right. You're saying classified. It's classified. It just has the entire vibe of, we don't know what's going on around here. So please try to inform us. Send us 5 things that you worked on this last week so we can get a better picture of what's going on around here. It's like it is one of the largest agencies in the entire federal government. If it was its own independent workforce, it would be like one of the largest employers in the country. It is. If you don't laugh, you cry, because it is so just absurd, like, in the sense, like, it shouldn't be happening for a weekend television personality who did do some, you know, staff management overseeing nonprofit organizations, but nothing to the scale of this level. And now he's just jumping on the bandwagon of, oh yeah, we are going to ask the what did you do, the five things that you did this last week, and that's how we're going to do a quote-unquote pulse check. It's absurd.
Well, and I think it speaks a lot to, particularly for people who served or veterans of the military, it shows the lack of trust from the commander-in-chief in Trump, from Musk, and even from the Secretary of Defense. You obviously don't have any confidence in your military personnel, the field commanders, people over, because everybody who is a civilian at some point answers to a military person in DOD. And so it just says, well, we don't have any trust in our majors, our generals, our captains out there, over our lieutenants overseeing these people.
Yeah. And I think it goes as far outside of just Department of Defense. The sentiment behind the email of saying share the five things that you did this last week is a disregard and lack of respect for all of our federal employees. But that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that on full scale. There are elected officials who have federal employees. Their office is staffed with federal employees. Like your legislative, the positions that you served once upon a time.
I was a federal employee in the United States House of Representatives.
Yes. So all staff with federal employees. Federal employees that we're seeing reporting from Wisconsin Public Radio today talking about now leases. The doggy, whatever you want to call it, is canceling leases for federal offices here in the state of Wisconsin for Bureau of Indian Affairs, for... there's military contracts. There are a number of
different... In Texas, it was for an FBI office.
it is absurd. Mm-hmm. It is beyond the pale for any of this, because if those offices are getting their leases canceled, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's not too far from now that everybody involved in those offices here in Wisconsin that found out that their leases are being terminated today, all of those positions are going to disappear as well. It is disregard, a lack of respect, and a slap in the face to the federal workers that go about their job day in and day out, every single day, for the American people. They're not making bank. These aren't $2.4 billion air traffic control contracts that are rolling out that, you know, Elon Musk somehow is just going to link to Starlink. These are federal employees that are doing a honest day's work that the people that have come into power now have such disregard for them that they don't care what they do. They're just trying to say, hey, if you don't respond to this, we're gonna fire you. Hey, if we don't like the five things that you did last week, then we're gonna fire you. And it is just so disrespectful. It is so absurd. And it is just, I gotta hope that there is going to be some aspects that our courts will be able to prevent these illegal firings, but there's going to be a lot of people, a part of the federal workforce, that regardless of what those legal outcomes aren't going to come back. Mm-hmm. There is going to be a vacuum, because what is the point when you wake up every day and you go about your job, your livelihood, your meaning for a lot of people, whether it's serving the country in whatever department of the federal workforce that you are a part of. If all of a sudden that is ripped out from underneath your feet and it no longer there, why are you going to go back?
Yeah.
If 6 months from now, if a year from now, a court decides that this was all illegal, no, what is the hollowing out of our federal workforce going to be like 6 months from now?
Yeah.
A year from now, 2 years from now? It's a scary thing to think about when you try to put it in that perspective.
Let's hear from a United States veteran in Tennessee. This comes to us courtesy of the Tennessee Holler, talking to a veteran working for the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs who just got fired, they said, for poor performance.
Yeah, I just feel like I've just been swept up in a dustpan and thrown out.
James Diaz started his job at the IRS office in Galesburg last April. First as a tax advisory specialist, then a few months later as a fuel compliance officer. A move he took as a promotion with a pay raise.
This right here is my termination letter.
A week ago today, Diaz was fired, receiving a letter from the Federal Office of Personnel Management.
Here's where it comes. Taking into account your performance and in light of mission needs, the agency finds that your continued employment that this agency is not in the public interest.
Diaz is a combat veteran. He served in the Army during the first Gulf War. After working as a truck driver and in manufacturing factories, he got his college degree in 2020.
I am upset, mad, and just confused at how they could treat people who put their life on the line for the country, who put themselves in harm's way, can be treated like this.
He says his OMP letter implies he was underperforming, something he calls a lie.
This was my first boss's narrative on my performance.
Diaz showed us his performance reviews.
You consistently take steps to identify and avoid work delays. You attempt to use your time in an efficient manner, whether waiting on customers, researching, or other duties assigned. You keep yourself constantly busy with productive work. Absolutely directly contradicts what I've got in that OPM letter.
He took pride working for the federal government. Now, as he's left to find a new job, all he feels is frustration.
I voted for Trump, but I still support, a lot of his policies. But I don't necessarily support the method that he's implementing them. Like, to me, there's no thought behind it. It's just chop and roll, and then we'll fix it at the other end. A lot of us didn't deserve this.
That comes to us courtesy of the Tennessee Holler. I got my agencies mixed up. That gentleman worked for the IRS, so we have another cut we might get to next hour of a veteran who works for the VA. But Luke, I think that was a good example. Again, these are not quote-unquote Democrats being fired. No. This is a Trump supporter who is saying, look, I voted for the guy, but they're not doing this right.
This isn't a one-off
either.
This isn't one story of, oh, oopsie, in last week's cabinet meeting, I don't even know what to call him. The shadow president, like he wants to be dark MAGA. I don't understand what the role, special advisor, leader. It is so beyond anything we've seen before. We have not seen somebody with the amount of conflicts of interest that Elon Musk has walk into the Oval Office and just be handed the keys to the federal government, handed the means to go and start sending. Because again, this is straight from his playbook. When he took over Twitter, now X, this is exactly what he did.
Yeah,
he hollowed it out.
Literally took out the kitchen sink. I remember
and,
that was a
and
big
that's
deal.
That's fine, I guess, if it is a privately held social media company. By all means, if you want to spend $40 billion on an overprice for that social media platform and do with it what you're going to, by all means. But this is the United States of America. This is our federal government. This is not a one-off story. There's going to be not thousands of these stories, Todd. There's not going to be tens of thousands of these stories. There's going to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of these stories, the way that the administration is running roughshod right now and attacking the federal workforce.
We might find out more tonight. President Trump going to address a joint session of Congress in the annual presidential speech. It's not called a State of the State the first time. First year of the term. But it's essentially that.
Yeah.
We're going to find out more tonight. We'll come back here in a minute. No, I guess we've got a couple minutes left and talk about this. But I prepared to watch the speech tonight by last night watching Star Wars Revenge of the Sith, which I'm not joking around. If you haven't seen or haven't watched it in a while, watch it tonight because there's a lot of similarities of giving an authoritarian power when people applaud that and it goes rogue, it goes crazy.
I've said that all the time that he's really similar to Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm serious. You should watch it before you watch the state of the, or before they watch the presidential address tonight. There are stories coming out, Luke, this one in The Hill, Hakeem Jeffrey, Democratic leader, saying it's important to have a, quote, strong and determined, dignified Democratic presence, unquote, at the Trump address tonight. There's different reporting out there, but some saying that some Democrats want to go rogue, I guess you might say, and either show up and use, noise machines or whatever, disrupt the thing. I don't know that that's the way to go, because then I think then you become like Marjorie Taylor Greene or in her Cruella DeVille outfit and start yelling. So we'll come back, get Luke's thoughts on what Democrats should do tonight in terms of the presidential speech, give you details how you can listen to it on Civic Media. We might talk sports. It's Luke Mathers, Zomers, Allball on Civic Media.
News from the center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported last year that the Trump transition team had been funding itself through unknown private donations and refused to sign a General Services Administration transition support memo, which limited private donations to $5,000. The memo was never signed, and the transition's private donors still haven't been disclosed. Nonprofit news site Notice reports that previous transition teams disclosed that information by February 19th, including Trump's first transition. In November, Trump's chief of staff promised to disclose those donors. The Presidential Transition Act of 1963 allows money controlled by the GSA to fund presidential transition expenses, including office space, personnel, IT, and other support services to aid incoming and outgoing administrations. That funding is contingent on the incoming administration signing a memo of understanding and the $5,000 limit on private donations. But while Trump's team agreed on the terms of the new administration's move into the White House, it refused to sign GSA's transition support memo, allowing it to sidestep the limits and disclosure requirements. So between November 7th and January 20th, it's likely millions were received from wealthy donors and corporations, and Americans still don't know who funded its transfer of power and the influence it bought. We've linked the Notice report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Walking his dog across some prairie looking for the groundhog, but not supporting the doggy. It's Luke Mathers joining us for Tuesday Tangent with Lukester, 9 minutes before the hour of 2 o'clock, but 1 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC or CBS News. Coming up at hour two, it is once again time to play What's Worse, a Tuesday Taco edition. Luke, what's worse?
Tuesday Taco or Taco Tuesday, Todd?
Well, either way. I'm dyslexic, so it can happen if you want Taco Tuesday or Tuesday Taco.
Okay. Do you put the fixings on the inside of the shell or the outside of the shell? I'm just curious, I guess. How far does that carry?
Anyway, more of that nonsense in hour number two. Right now, talking about some of these cuts happening via Musk, Trump, the Department of Defense, Veterans Affairs, other places. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, always a pleasure. What do you got?
Well, when Reagan was in office, I believe, in the 1980s, there was an article I read, and it basically said something like, if the Republicans enact their entire agenda, they will never get voted back into office again. And we're at that point, I think, where they have this crazy agenda. And if there's a legitimate election, they'll never be voted back in again. I don't think so. But the catch for that is, of course, you know, Bannon, who's, I think he's one of the advisors now to Trump, has basically said, you know, we're going to have not just 2 years or 4 years, and Trump is out of office. We're going to have a 50-year MAGA rule, and the only way that could possibly happen is if there is not a legitimate election in 2 years, and that I think is what we have to look at and deal with.
Appreciate it. Yeah, Jack, I agree. I mean, I've done this program before. I'm not trying to be over the top about it, but I don't think you can say anymore that a legitimate midterm election is assured anymore. Luke?
I think that the institution of our elections is going to hold steady. if we start to see all of a sudden some foul play, we just had an audit release that despite there was no crying, no spilt milk over this election, when you know they happen to be the victors, and Tammy Baldwin and Donald Trump both accept the winnings. Hovde, for an extent there, did kind of throw a tantrum saying that there was some malfeasance for his ballot.
He was upset he had to shave his mustache.
I think he liked that. I don't think he liked the mustache. I think he was probably...
Some people did.
I think he was probably glad to get rid of it. But, you know, we just had an audit of the election. All of the tabulating machines across the state of Wisconsin counted every ballot. Everything on the election this last November was on the up and up. Mm. Unless we all of a sudden start to see tampering and changes to the way that our elections are conducted, then all of a sudden I think there's going to be some red flags raised and alarm bells going off. Yeah. But as of right now, I have full faith that our country will go 20 months from now to the polling places and have a midterm election.
I love that Luke's positive. Off the text line, John in Milwaukee on WAUK says, It's totally absurd that any employer shouldn't be able to ask the employee what they're doing to justify their job. And don't feed your audience fear-mongering by being concerned about national secrets being exposed. Stop the gaslighting.
If Leon Panetta sent an entire DOD email saying, tell me the five things you did last week, Fox News would be like running special reports on the minute, just being like, the Obama administration does not know how our Defense Department works, and there is nobody, they're asleep at the wheel, not understanding how our military functions. Like, that would be the hair on fire reporting coming out of Fox News, OAN, all of those entities. And so, the gaslighting is coming a little bit from John's text, I feel like.
Well, I was just going to ask. I mean, I don't know what John does for a living, what he's done in the past. I actually worked with the Department of Defense and have been in meetings where classified material was discussed. So I happen to know that it is standard protocol, the Department of Defense, that you are not allowed normally to send emails outside the Department of Defense for security reasons. That's just legit. And also, as I said, all employees at the Department of Defense are, in fact, overseen, reviewed by their peers. It's called chain of command. And if apparently the Trump folks don't have faith in chain of command. The presidential address tonight, Luke, people can catch it on civic media across the app, but across the airwaves beginning at 8 o'clock.
Yes, beginning at 8 o'clock, we've got our CBS affiliates who are going to be reporting with the CBS special report for the joint address tonight, and across the network with the ABC news stations, ABC News special report. So it's going to be...
Wouldn't it be fun if we crossed them up?
No, I don't think they would like that. Right, I would just say, Todd's got an interesting definition of fun, but no, it's going to be good for both the network coverage, ABC and CBS, depending on which station you listen to. So all right, Tune in.
Democrats, should they go? Should we stay, or should we, not we, but should they go or should they stay? Or what should Democrats do tonight?
I think it's going to be really interesting to see. There's been a lot of question marks. There's new leadership at the DNC. There's new leadership in the House of Representatives, or newish, more new, I guess, than in the Senate. I don't know. Chuck Schumer, nobody can call him new. it will be interesting to see what they're doing with the changing of the guard at the DNC and how our elected officials are going to be receiving this. Because I think there's going to be some raunchy aspect. I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene's going to contain herself any more than she would have during a Biden address like this.
Well,
in the last 4 years.
She's not going to shout down. She's not going to shout down.
No, she'll
Donald
probably be
Trump
screaming and doing a you rah rah kind of thing for
it. I just think that either if Democrats don't want to go, that's their right, and they should just not go. If you're going to go, I think it's fine just to stand there and not clap, but don't cause a scene, because Republican media cycles are going to amplify that.
Yeah, they're going to find something to amplify and cry about. And
Badger's going to win tomorrow night?
Border battle, we're going to take Minnesota's lunch.
Take their lunch. All right, we'll hold Luke's here to it. Thanks, Luke Mathers. Appreciate you, Tuesday Taser. Luke, come on back. What's worse? It's a Taco Tuesday Taco. We'll figure it out on Civic Media.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and President Trump addresses a joint session of Congress tonight, outlining his economic plans along with foreign policy. That includes efforts to end Russia's war in Ukraine. After the fallout from talks with Ukraine's President Zelensky last week, Trump ordered a hold on all U.S. military aid to Ukraine.
Right now, U.S. aid to Ukraine will be temporarily put on pause as these conversations continue to play out. It's important to note that the overwhelming majority of the aid that was promised during the Biden administration has already gotten to Ukraine, but there are still some things in the pipeline that could be held up right now. If there is a delay, whether that's weeks or months of this aid not getting to Ukraine, there could be a real impact on the battlefield.
ABC's Karen Travers. Canada reacting to U.S. tariffs matching the 25% tariffs the U.S. imposed on goods on Canada and Mexico. The Vatican says Pope Francis had no new respiratory crises, but will sleep with a ventilation mask now at night. This is ABC News.
You can all